We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to help it further the building of His kingdom, you may visit our website or you may send money to Trinity United Methodist at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our next children's night out will be August 8th from 5:30 to 7:30, and we will be watching a movie, playing games, and eating pizza. Parents, if your kids really need a break from you, please bring them down to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Birthdays this week is Linda Isom, Sydney Bullard, Zachary Harris, and Crystal Higdon. Our flowers this morning is provided by Seymour Recycling, and our radio is sponsored by Trinity United Methodist Church. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and our brother Sosorus to the church of God in Corinth. Those sanctified in Jesus Christ are called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon this morning is Do You Love Me? By Gary Dyer.
Praise the Lord. I'm used to vocal now. I like a participation. And when I first got saved, they'd say, praise the Lord. And I'd go, oh boy, you're afraid everybody would look at you. Well, now you'll hear me in Walmart hollering, praise the Lord. Why would I not want to praise Him? Amen. And thank God, you know, I went into Kentucky Fried Chicken not too long ago, and the girl that was working there said, I heard you on the radio. I said, wow. Well, who would want to listen to me, I thought. But do you know that people are listening and they're watching us as we travel around today? I tell them wherever I go to preach that we're mobile tabernacles. Everybody grab that. Now, if you're from the north, it's mobile. I happen to be from the south, but it's mobile tabernacle. Now, you think of that in the Old Testament. The Lord, they made a tabernacle, and Brother Rick, it was covered by skins, animal skins. I can't remember all the layers, but each layer meant something. And I say that to Brother Rick because he's a hunter and a fisher. Ever since I've known him, he's been a hunter and a fisherman and excellent at what he does in that field. Thank God for that. But if you would stand with me, please, if you could please stand. We're going to be reading in John 21, chapter 21, verse 15. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Now, I'm not talking about condemning. He said, do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And I wrote children down behind that. Verse 16, he said unto him again the second time. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God is the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Feed my sheep. But those words, you've heard it before, do you love me? And I've preached this before. I just want to share this with you. That the Bible said that young men shall have visions and old men will dream dreams. Now that includes ladies too. And if you read your word, you can have visions and dreams if you pray and ask God about it. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and I'll open the door. Hallelujah. I believe this morning when I woke up, there's so much more available for us that we're not getting. No matter if you're Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever they call us, amen, the Apostle Paul went 7,000 miles around the Mediterranean Sea, amen, and in 20 years, and he was preaching the word, he said, we're believers. Is anybody getting excited about it? We're believers. You couldn't find Catholic or Pentecostal. I'm not putting that down, but he said, we're believers. And people look at me and said, what faith are you? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to be Christ-like. We mentioned this morning, and I ask you to forgive me for running on the edge of time. Somehow my mind clicked 10:30. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for being on the edge. But I wasn't asleep. I was actually in a Bible study. Thank God he called me. Somebody said, are you on the way? I said, yes. But we were actually in the book of John. And when Jesus said this to me, I saw a folding chair. If I had one, I'd put it right here, a folding chair. It was blue. And I sat in that folding chair, and what I heard was this. I heard it, Brother Rick. I heard, do you love me? And I repeated the words, do you love me? Again, I heard the words in here, do you love me? And I repeated what I heard, do you love me? I did that three times. When he spoke to me, do you love me? I spoke it, do you love me? And the third time, I had tears going down my face because I say, boy, I love my dog. I love this truck. I love the house. I love my king-size bed. I love taking a shower this morning with soap. Why do you wash? Because if you don't wash in a week, you're nasty. The flesh is nasty. I fight the flesh. Is anybody with me? You know, you could be in church 40 years. I've not arrived. Somebody said I got saved, and he was standing there, and I was watching him. It's before I got filled with the Spirit. He had a cigarette, and he smelled like, I don't know, Jack Daniels or something. He said, I got saved. I said, when? In 65, I got baptized. Well, what I saw was, is that salvation? I'm not sure if I wanted it. But let me tell you, when he says, do you love me? Here's the picture that I got, even though, Brother Rick, I began to weep. It was as if my wife, is it all right to move? I've seen her with the camera. As if my wife would come up and put her hands here. Everybody watching? Everybody watch. As if my wife would come up and gently put her hands here and say, do you love me? Not in a condemning way, but in a way that, do you love me? Do you know how much I love you? That's Jesus talking. Do you know how much I love you? That's Jesus talking. Do you really know how much I love you, Jesus said. And I need to say back, do you know how much I really love Jesus? I woke up this morning and here's a thought that came to me. I was praying during the night. I woke up at 1 or something. But anyway, if I do not have a connection with the power company, when I flipped that switch on this morning, ain't no light coming on. If I don't have a relationship with God, if I don't love Jesus, when I flip that switch, the light ain't coming on. Does this make sense this morning? Do you love me? He said that. And why would he say that to Peter? Because Peter was the one that said, I'll die for you, Lord. You ever come into church and said, man, I'll be in church, I'll feel good. Now, I heard a good sermon. When I leave here, man, I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. And then we leave and we go outside and somebody said, praise the Lord. You go, oh, hello. It's just a relationship that took a while for Gary to develop. Peter needed to be restored. He denied the Lord. Do you remember those times in the Bible, those that read the Bible and study, that he denied the Lord? He actually fought for the Lord, but if he wanted to cut the guy's head off, he just made a little slice and cut the guy's ear off. Maybe he wasn't real serious about it. But Peter needed to be restored. Do you ever feel that way? It doesn't matter how I feel. It's what God has done on the inside of Gary. And see, Peter was suffering because he wanted to love God. I love you, Lord. I do love you, Lord. And he said, feed my sheep. Okay, but Peter still had some stuff hanging on him. And the Lord knows it all. And Jesus knew that Peter needed to be restored. So he was telling me, do you love me? Three times. So Peter would begin to realize that Jesus was bringing restoration to him. Now the Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Think of that. Sometimes we gather here and we only think of our little place. Sometimes we only think about Trinity. I'm not saying you do, but sometimes we do that. I don't think that way anymore. I used to be in a place that I went to church and I didn't dare leave that place. You wouldn't have caught me in any other church. It's a building. This is just a building. Everybody know that. Don't get mad at me. Because you're the church. Is this on? My wife said to quit doing that. You are the church. Can you say that with me? I am the church. Let's say it again. I am the church. You are the mobile tabernacle for Jesus Christ, because when he filled me with his spirit, Brother Rick, something happened. Something happened in my heart, inside of me, because what began to come out was not curse words, was not all that other stuff. Something began to take place. In fact, I was filled with the Holy Ghost Sunday morning in December the 23rd, 1978, about 1 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. God's moving at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not just at noon at Cracker Barrel. 1 o'clock in the morning, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I leaped to my feet and hollered, this is it. I went to work Monday, and one of my all-time best friends at that time, that tall, big, mean dude, drank all the time, cussed, must, fought, beat up, crashed cars, fought, ran up to me and spun me around, and they called me Bubba at work. He said, Bubba, what happened to you? I said, hey, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh. I said, wait, where are you going? You was my friend. Where are you going? He kept on running. You know he's still running? What did he see? What was he afraid of? See, God put something inside of us that love. Do you love me? And he tested me because, amen, I said I would never go back. I wasn't going to do this. I said I'd never go back to Vietnam, and I'd never go back to that hellhole, and I'd never fly in an airplane. I said all those things. Duh, 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 duh. Kill them all. But when God transforms the heart, guess what? He said, you're going back. Did anybody ever hear the Lord said, you're going back? You're going back to ask somebody to forgive you. I can't do that. Oh, it happens. Do you love me? The love that Jesus had. Let me describe this. I wrote this down. God's relentless, loyal love arrives in Jesus. Relentless, loyal love arrives in Jesus. He said, I got to do something for my precious creation. It said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The earth belongs to God. The grass is his, the trees are his, the birds are his. This building belongs to God. How beautiful it is. Look at the stained glass. Every time I come here, I'm like, wow. But it belongs to God. When I leave this earth, I take nothing with me. They throw me in the box, and nothing goes with me. Now, she might not want me to say this, but I'm on the firing team for veterans, you know, at funerals. 21-gun salute. We're all kind of getting older on it. We kept praying. We need some young people on the firing squad. So this girl joined. She's 8 years in the Marine Corps. Sweet little gal, tough as nails. Amen. And she also works at Voss's. And she does all that at Voss's. And she told them old guys, she said, if you die before I do, I'll be the last one to see you naked. I thought, oh, Lord. Did that embarrass you? I'm sorry. It's just true, right? Because nothing's going out. I take nothing with me. Come on, do you love me? No greater love does he have. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good and his mercy endureth forever. You know, our praises, thank God, Brother Joe came, Brother Eric, Brother Austin. I don't know why they came. They said, we want to come hear you preach. I don't know why, but I'm glad you're here today. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But the love of God is so, I want to praise him in the store. Now, why do you do that? Let me tell you something. The other day, for 26 years being in the food pantry ministry, my kids had a dinner for us. Well, I didn't know they surprised us. The big surprise, 200 or 300 people showed up. And I heard a police escort coming down the road, and I thought, what? The cops are coming. And they brought in this beautiful new box truck, 20-foot box truck, lift gate on the back, V12 Triton motor. Ah. Well, my other one, the other one, now that I drove the new one, the old one was like going from a Rambler that needed motor work to a Lamborghini. The reason I tell you the story, because they put graphics on it. Now, I'm about to get a little teary-eyed. They put graphics on the side of it, both sides, and they put graphics on the back door, 7 foot wide, 8 foot tall, this big. It says, Jesus loves you, John 3:16. I really, really, really like that truck, but I love what it says. Is anybody getting with me? Do you love me? Has he asked you that? Oh, I love you. It's not lip service now, it's heart service. Do you love me? Do you love me enough? When I went into the dollar store yesterday over by my house, the manager runs up and he said, I've been trying to find you. Listen to this. And I said, what? He said, you was in the right place at the right time and you didn't know it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, a friend of mine, the parents are passing away, and they were fretful, and they didn't know what they were going to do, and they were saying, what do I do now? What am I going to do now? And it said she was driving down the street, and she looked over, and there was that truck that said, Jesus loves you. She said, that's it. He said, do you know what you did? I said, I did nothing but drive the truck. God is doing it all. I'm about to get excited. Jesus loves you. It has to be, if you say it today, Jesus loves me. Can you say that with me? Jesus loves me. I mean with ferocity. Jesus loves me. How do you know? Because he took 9-inch nails through his hands and through his feet. No greater love does a man have than to lay down his life. They beat him ferociously. They crown of thorns on his head. All because he said, Gary Dyer's going to need me someday. When he looked at Peter, he told Peter, do you love me? He was restoring Peter back to what he wanted him to be. A soldier in God's army. Not a wimp anymore. Not a, oh, I'm in shame. I denied the Lord. Do you ever come to church and say, oh, I sinned and God, oh, I don't know, I can't go to church today. God's mad at me. No, he loves you. People say the first time they have a problem, they say, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to church. I'm having a problem. No, I need to go to the house of worship and praise the Lord. I can tell you this, in the foxholes of Vietnam, amen, I never heard anybody hollering out for Satan. I never heard anybody, oh, devil, help me. It was, oh, God. Come on, you're looking at one that has, oh, God, don't let one hit this hole. Oh, God, don't let one hit this hole. And they were falling all over, not a one ever hit the hole. God loves you. I don't understand everything. I don't know why some didn't make it and he allowed me to come back, but I think it was to be here today. Because when I woke up this morning, I said, I'd rather be teaching spiritual warfare. I woke up with that this morning. We need spiritual warfare classes. You say, how's that? We did street ministry back in the 90s. And we had a group inside praying for us in a circle. I said, you're the spiritual mortar crew. And we're going to go out as a team, lock and load. We're going to go out onto the street and do ministry. See, I don't have the M16 or I don't have the hand grenades, but I got the Word of God. That's more powerful than those two things. But the spiritual mortar crew was in there that when we're out there, the enemy don't like me being out there on the street doing ministry. So when he tries to do something, when these people are praying, they're dropping spiritual mortars to keep the enemy off of us. When I walked the jungles or when we was walking, the mortars would be falling on this side and one on that side and one on this side and one on that side. Our mortars to keep the enemy off of us. Is anybody with me? Oh, I'm about to, oh man. Somebody said if you'd have died in Vietnam, you'd been lost. I said, I don't know about that. I might have said that back in before I got filled with the Spirit. But I say today, I don't know about that. Because you know who I was talking to over there? Well, they said, did you drink? I said, yeah. Did you smoke? I said, yeah. Did you cuss? I said, yeah. Well, I was scared. I didn't know the Lord was with me. Can everybody say, He's with me? He's with me. He never left me. He said, now here's something I wrote down. I wrote it down, but I'll just repeat it. Amen. I've been through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalms 23:4. I've been through the valley of the shadow of death, and I've fought a hard fight to get up the hill. But when I got to the top of the hill, sissy, I had victory. Come on, we've all been through some valleys, right? We've all had to fight up some hills. But when we get to the top of the hill, I had victory. Well, guess who else walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Jesus walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He walked through that valley and he fought a hard fight up that hill. But when he got to the top of the hill of Calvary, he had the victory. Nail me to the cross. Go ahead. And when he hung up there before mankind, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hallelujah. If there ever was a time when we need the love of God in America, is it now? Is it now? Yeah, I like this. Yes. I don't watch the news because I get aggravated. Being a veteran, I get aggravated. My wife said, quit watching the news. She said, quit talking politics in public. You know, I got a good wife because she's working on me, y'all. She said, what comes out here needs to be different. Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. And what's coming out of here needs to be different. I repented this morning because there's a lady stands on the corner with a sign. She's there again this morning wanting money. I went by there the other day and I said, she just got out of jail 2 months ago for methamphetamine. I said, I baptized her way back in the 90s in the field. I baptized her in Jesus' name in the field. Years ago. But I saw her this morning. I began to repent because he was like, I need to pray for her to get saved and delivered from methamphetamine. Is anybody with me? It's terrible. I get the police report every day on my phone. I get the police report. And when you pull it up, almost every one of them is a drug. Drugs. And it's killing them. You look at their faces. Some of them younger than me, and they look like they've been drug hard and put up wet. The drugs is killing them. I needed to pray, let that woman on the corner get saved. Am I making sense? I think if Jesus walked by, he'd say, do you love me? Is anybody with me? Do you think Jesus would say that if he walked by that gal standing there, you know, and she's got no teeth now? What would he say? I think he'd say, do you love me? I love you. Love, that word scares me sometimes. Forgive me, because, you know, people tell me they love me, and I said, I have to think about that, because I have to return something. Love is it's a big word. Do you love me? I love Jesus. That means that my life belongs to Jesus, and if he has to be taken, it must be taken for Jesus. I say, yes, Lord, I love you. He restored Peter. When you read about those precious disciples, they all kind of stumbled around, didn't they, at first? They was with him for a while, being discipled and listening. But it was a fearful time. When I read the Bible, I think, well, if I had to face a fiery furnace, or if I had to face somebody cutting my head off, or I had to face going to prison for nothing, what would I do, see? And that's why he's working on me. But you can take the Bible away from us, but now we know enough that if I was in the prison, I'd be saying, hey, do you know Jesus loved you? I can tell you, John 3:16, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us the best gift that he had. Is anybody with me today? Wow. People used to stop by the house and said, pray for my son. He's in Iraq. I said, I will. And we did. But when my two sons signed up to go and they sent them to Iraq, I took another step up. I didn't realize, but that's my child. Is anybody with me? That's my son they're trying to kill. That's my son they're shooting at. And in fact, one of them did get hurt physically, and it took him quite a while to get over that. Hallelujah. But he did not get over God. Come on, somebody. He did not get over God. When they were children, they got filled with the Spirit, and I told them that Jesus loves you. Now, they may not be perfect, but them two boys, Justin and Jeremiah, they know the Lord. Justin, is that the truth? Well, Justin called me up when he was in boot camp. When I was in boot camp, man, we were kicking and fighting and snuffing and huffing, and if I could get a drink, I'd take a drink. If I could smoke a cigarette, I would. It was tough. Justin called me up in boot camp, and he said, my bunkmate said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the Bible. What for? He said, so I can get through this training. And his bunkmate said, would you read some to me? Come on, somebody. He said, yes, I will. Well, Sunday he got up and he said, where are you going, Dar? He said, I'm going to church. And the kid said, can I go with you? He said, yeah. Well, Justin said, at boot camp now, when I was in, if you could sneak a drink, you could get a drink, smoke a cigarette. It was tough. And my son went through tough training, but something was different. He said they ended up that a black worship team come into church there where they was having church. Now, y'all don't know about that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They don't just come in and say, thank you, Jesus. They come in, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know, I've been there. They get with us. He said that made the difference. He said 25 men got baptized in boot camp. Is anybody with me? 25 by one man reading the word. I wasn't going to get loud, was I? Hallelujah, I can't help it. 25 got baptized. I said, is this for real? And then when they went overseas, during the fighting, they was out there with an infantry unit. They were digging holes and putting ponchos in there and filling them with water. People were getting baptized out in the battlefield. Man, when I was out there, there wasn't nobody getting baptized. When I was in, I just didn't know that he was with me. When the chaplain would fly out, didn't matter if he's Methodist, Catholic, didn't matter. They would go up to the main foxhole, they called the command CP, and we would get down in there two at a time and listen to the chaplain. You know God loves you, and I said, yeah, but God ain't in this hellhole. Now, it's all right to say that. Don't get mad at me. I told him, God ain't in this hellhole. He's in America. There's no way that God could be here today. Is anybody with me? You might be thinking, is God here? Yes, he is. On February the 19th, 1968, the biggest battle I was ever in, God showed up. because I had to cry out. Is anybody with me? I said, God, I don't want to die in this hellhole. We were being overran. Guess who showed up? And one day I was preaching. I said, I'll start singing. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. And because I cried out and he showed up, he proved to me, not because I was special, but he proved to me that he was there, that he's real, and he came to help me. But before I could get out of there, Brother Rick, I had to stop and pick up a wounded guy and bring him with me. Now, y'all don't know about combat, but in combat, you want to get yourself out of there as quick as you can. But he made me stop and bring somebody with me. Guess what he's doing today? He's making me bring somebody with me. Austin, your job is, you're going to get saved. You are saved, but you've got to bring somebody with you. If not one, maybe two, maybe a whole squad, maybe a platoon. You've got to bring somebody with you. I'm going to heaven. Got saved in 58. I apologize for being late today, but I was in Bible study. I was in John. We were studying in John. Woo! I'm trying to be calm. Y'all don't know. Man, glory to God. When I got saved, it was radically. And I'm not lifting me up, but it was radically. It's like getting hit by lightning, and I'm still alive. Hallelujah. Well, the preacher at Clear Spring said, you needed it because you're so bad. I said, I don't know about that. Maybe I was. But he proved to me that he loved me. And I'm going to end with the prodigal son. I said, is it hot? I said, Sissy's going, shh. Yeah, they're very frugal in church anymore. Did you ever notice that? I went to Dairy Queen. McDonald's out there by the church. I went, man, it's cold in here. Shoo, it must have been 65. I went to church this morning. It was 81. Hallelujah. Y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just speaking things. But the question when you leave here today, when the prodigal son spent all his money on women, wine, and song, eating with pigs, nasty. Talk about soap, that boy was nasty. Pigs stink, don't they? Anybody been around pigs? I had one when I was a kid, you know. Uncle D had one. And that was our pet pig, and his name was Lunch. It was, I can't help it. Lunch, Uncle D. You remember Uncle D? He'll eat anything, Gary. Amen. Glory to God. But you know that he said, I'll go to my father. I'll go home. I'll leave the bar. I'll leave the prostitutes. I'll leave the drugs. I'll go home and just be a servant to my father. I walked into church, into the back door. I was so sick of being sick. 150 people praising God. Not a one spoke to me. I told them at church, I said, if a long-haired, bearded guy walks into the door and sits in the back, you better welcome me in. He might be your next pastor. Hallelujah. You don't know what God's thinking. Everybody said, well, God said, hey, you don't know what God's thinking. He said, that dirty dude might be the next pastor. It happened. Ta-da. I can't help it. I just know I was sick and undone. Thank God that somebody came to the back, 84 years old, and spoke to me and said, if you go to the altar, I'll go with you. He said, if you go, I'll go with you. I needed help. I looked at him and I said, I need something. And what I saw in him, I needed. And so I went with him. Now I'm getting to be that way, 84. I'm getting to be that way. I'm 74. But I want to go to the back row and said, if you'll go, I'll go with you. Thank God I went with him. Because all the time he was waiting, he said, I loved you when you were born. Now this is for you. I loved you in Vietnam. I loved you when you were drunk. I loved you when you did all those bad things. And now that you're here, I'm still loving you. Can you grab that? I still love you. When you go home and the kids are acting up, he still loves you. When you go home and the bills are there, and he still loves you. You know, he still loves you. For 2 years I prayed. I was going to do that one day, and the people said, oh, don't step off the... I said, I'm not. I know where the end is. I prayed. My wife said, what have you been praying for 2 years? I said, a box truck, because the other one was good. I liked it, but it was falling apart. The brakes fell off of it. People said, how did you make it? I said, I kept praying to get there and to get home. I said, God, help me to get there and get back. Help me to get back to home. Well, that prodigal guy, when he got to his father's house, he said, there's my son. If you're a daughter, he said, there's my daughter. Welcome home. He was dead, but now he's alive. Gary's back. Hallelujah. Sue's back. Mary's back. Sam's back. Hallelujah. If you're here today, don't you dare leave here without knowing that Jesus loves you. If I said anything today, please remember that. He's waiting patiently in line. Patiently in line. Patiently in line. So now instead of putting people down, you'll find me praying for them. Praying for our government, that the Spirit of God would flow through our government mightily. Praying for salvation. Now what I spoke today, I'll probably be tested with. So you pray for me.
I'll do that.
You get tested with it. Do you love me, Gary? What did you say? Yeah. Well, I'm going to prove part of it today, because this is part of worship. This is part of worship. When you give your money. See, I struggled with this for a long time. Still do at times. When the Lord began to deal with me about leaving Cummins Engine Company, my wife came to me and she said, what did God tell you? And I said, I know, Mom, but I'm afraid to let go of the paycheck. Every weekend, every Friday, they walked in and popped down a $1,000 check in my hand. Now, that may not be a lot to some people, but that's a bunch to me. I was afraid to let... I told her I was afraid to let go of the paycheck. In about 2 weeks, I found myself up at the office signing out. Are you sure you want to retire? How are you going to make it? I said, we're going to make it. The tax man looks at us and said, you got more going out than coming in. How do you make it? I said, it's got to be God. When the truck pulled into that parking lot, it has to be God, because it said Jesus loves you on the back. They said, do you know what that truck's worth? I said, it's worth 55,498 million souls. I'm about to fall out here. It's worth souls. The truck is worth souls. Because it feeds people. We pick up food in it. But on the back, somebody the other day said, that's the answer I've been looking for. It's okay now. I see it. Jesus loves me. Oh, yeah. I got to be quiet. I got a whole lot more, but y'all probably wondering, is he going to be quiet? I used to preach at one church. They had little cliques. And they wanted to get done in a time so they could rate. One clique was going to the Dairy Queen, the other one was going to the McDonald's, and they had these cliques. If we get out of here in time, we can get a good seat. If we get out of here in time, that's what Jesus was thinking 6 hours on the cross. Well, if I get out of here in time, the whole world gonna get saved. Oh yeah, bless y'all. I love you guys in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Now, if you need prayer, this is the place to be. This is not a place of shame or guilt. It's not a place for people to look, oh, he's going to the altar. Oh, what's he been doing? Come to my church and you'll find me up there quite a bit. But it's a place I can come and say, I love you, Jesus. I'm going to close. Does anybody here need a healing? Would you stand if you need a healing? We're just going to pray that. This is Austin, Brother Austin. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Here's what the Lord told me. Pray the prayer of faith that will heal you, heal the sick, and he will raise you up. So now I pray the prayer of faith over Brother Austin right now, that you are healed according to his word in Isaiah 53 and 5. It says you are healed in Jesus' name. And we declare that today, the prayer of faith over you, and the Lord will raise you up in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. See, it's there. It's just waiting. All right. If there's nothing else, I'm telling you, it's like the swimming pool. Man, the lifeguard's going to blow the whistle and you're going to have to get in. All right, dear. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If the ushers would please come forward for our tithes and offerings.